Last night's Four Corners program on ABC TV, it detailed what's been described as the largest mass internment of people on the basis of religion since the Holocaust. It's about a million ethnic Muslim Uyghurs detained in a vast network of re-education camps in China's Xinjiang province, many forced into slave labour. And, well, Australian clothing companies are the beneficiaries of that labour, companies like Target, Cotton On, Dangerfield, Jeans West. Clive Hamilton is a professor of public ethics at Charles Sturt University. He's the author of Silent Invasion, China's Influence in Australia. He joins us from Berlin. Clive, welcome.
Hello, Jonathan.
The importance of something like Four Corners in raising the profile of a situation, the internment of Muslim Uyghurs, which has been going on for some time now, how would that be received within China?
Well, China is doing everything it can to deny international press access to and information about the internment camps now across Xinjiang. And it is making up all kinds of stories about how the Uyghurs, they're interned, or in fact they're voluntarily, and they're undergoing vocational education. But one of their leading researchers looking at this has uncovered a number of government documents from Xinjiang to talk about their program of washing clean the brains of people who are interned in these camps. There's one from a Xinjiang County Justice Bureau report that states that the re-education work must, quote, wash brains, cleanse hearts, support the right, remove the wrong. So there's obviously a great deal of sensitivity in Beijing about this, but the Xinjiang internments, which are, as you suggest, a massive program of detainment, have attracted in the last several months enormous global publicity. And I think it's really transforming international perceptions of the communist regime.
What does a country like Australia do, a country with a relationship which places us in a situation of considerable economic dependence on our trade with China? How strong a voice can we have?
Well, a couple of years ago, the Foreign Affairs Department released a white paper on our approach to foreign affairs, and it put a very strong upfront emphasis on building it around Australian values. And one would think, of course, that opposing forced labour, or let's be blunt, slavery, would be up there amongst them. And so, really, this is the issue where the government must decide whether the white paper was merely words or really actually meant something. And so, it was very good that the Australian government did join the other 21 nations and sign the international letter criticising the detentions. But I think Australia does have a strong moral voice. I mean, we've always played an important role in international ethical debates from the end of the Second World War. That's declined in recent times as we've become more afraid of retaliation from China. But I think, you know, Australian people like to think of themselves as participants in the international economy who bring a values-based approach rather than just basing it on filthy lucre.
There's pressure growing on the Foreign Minister to intervene in a particular case, and the Four Corners reporter Sophie McNeil reports just in this past half hour that the wife of Saddam Abdusalam, who spoke on that program last night, has been called in by police after he spoke to Four Corners. So clearly, Clive, there is some attention being given to the program. You're in Berlin, in fact, to discuss the issue of this slave labour around businesses sourcing cotton and clothing from the region. What was the take in that meeting?
Well, the meeting yesterday at a China-focused think tank here in Berlin was about participation of European companies in the economic and other affairs of Xinjiang. And there are many European as well as American and Australian companies that do participate economically in Xinjiang. And the question was, how do they participate and what can be regarded as ethically acceptable and what kind of activities, such as participating in the construction of a surveillance network, cross a kind of moral line. And, of course, being in Germany, it was inevitable that someone should raise the Nazi era and the collaboration of German firms, and not just German firms, of course, in the Nazi regime. Mm-hmm. IBM, for example, before the war and during the war, continued to supply data management technology to the Nazis. But whilst those German firms after the war tried to kind of white out that history, from the 80s there was a strong demand that German corporates confront their participation. And I was just looking the other day at the website of Daimler-Benz, maker of Mercedes-Benz.
Yep.
And like other major companies, Siemens, for example, they have confronted their participation, particularly the use of forced labour. And so they have they are upfront on their website about their history of collaboration with the Nazi regime. So history catches up on corporates that would prefer to pretend that it's not that the ethics of it are nothing to do with them, and they're just going about their business.
Do you think those Australian corporates have been aware of the circumstances in which their raw materials are produced?
Well, look, anyone who with their eyes open, and particularly if you are working in China, eyes open over the last few months, you have to be aware that this kind of thing has been alleged by very credible sources. In fact, now there's an international condemnation of it. So there really is no excuse for not understanding. And I noticed that some of the Australian companies, when asked by Four Corners, said, "We are going to investigate our supply yeah. chains." And that's a good thing, because remember similar cases with the fires in Bangladeshi clothing factories, where women were effectively locked in and many died when these fire traps burnt down, and Australian and other companies were attracting an enormous amount of attention and were forced to change their supply practices.
And that, of course, would have an economic impact, but perhaps we need to think bigger than that. Greens leader Richard Di Natale, just speaking on this program just minutes ago, he wants the Australian government to impose targeted sanctions on China, perhaps impose travel bans on officials. Would that have any effect?
Well, a number of countries have adopted the so-called Magnitsky Act, which enables governments and indeed requires governments in some circumstances in the West to impose sanctions personally on those who are carrying out extremely repressive and in some cases murderous policies. Australia has not adopted that, although there is a push within the Australian Parliament for Australia to pass a Magnitsky Act, and that would give the Australian government the capacity to identify and impose sanctions on those who are involved. This is very likely to happen in the US. Congress is moving towards this. That is, the officials involved in the repression in Xinjiang. It all started about 2 years ago when a hard man of the Communist Party was moved from one province to Xinjiang, and he immediately started to implement this extraordinary crackdown. And so he would be on the top of the list for some kind of sanctions.
It's an interesting relationship that we have. And I guess that the big question for Australia, Australia politically, is what risk it's prepared to take in standing on a moral position, what economic risk it would countenance.
Well, we love to think that we defend Australian values, but, principles are worth nothing unless you're willing to sacrifice something for them. And I think a very large majority of Australians, if it were put to them, say, you know what, I would happily pay an extra quarter or a third or a half or even double for the shirt on my back to be sure it's not made by slaves. I think we would all feel that to be the case. And look, there are all kinds of restrictions on various practices, labour practices, environmental practices that are enforced internationally and which drive up the costs of our imports. All kinds of things are more expensive as a result of that. So this is just one of those, and an increasingly important one that I think we need to accommodate and respond to. And if that means we do have to pay more for our clothes, then so be it.
Clive, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Clive Hamilton, Professor of Public Ethics at Charles Sturt University, author of Silent Invasion: China's Influence in Australia.